Hello, my name is Tim Law with Success Learning Systems, and today I will be interviewing Eileen Tanzi from San Diego, California. She and her husband, Phil, are involved with real estate out in the great state of California, and I wanted to talk to her a little bit about what has become her passion and skill set for the real estate business. And they've been involved in this practice for quite a few years, which I'm going to get into some specifics with her here shortly. And you may want to take some notes as you listen to these ideas during this presentation. Eileen, what got you started on this pathway of helping others as you do with real estate? And if you could just kind of tell us your story, your background, the type of real estate you do, you know, whatever direction you want to take it in here.
Great, Tim. Thanks so much for having me. As you can tell, I'm not a native San Diegan, and I came to the United States in late 92, and with a very varied, I like to think varied and interesting background. I have lived in three countries and made three different career choices, so I bring a lot of different experiences to the table. When I came in 92, I looked at my background as an auditor and accountant in Ireland, as an entrepreneur and business owner in Germany, and looked at the skill set that I had, what I enjoyed doing, and the opportunities that were available, and thought that real estate would be a good fit for me. However, we were coming into a market very similar to what we're in right now, and I decided to start at the beginning, and I went into the mortgage business to learn as much as I could about financing, because as we all know and we all see in this day and age, if you can't get the financing, you can't buy a house. So I went into financing, into the mortgage business, and worked in the mortgage business until 1996. Then I transitioned over into residential real estate sales, joined my husband in 99, and we've been working as a team since in America's finest city, San Diego, a great place to live.
Well, I visited San Diego, only had the privilege just the one time, and it is beautiful. There's no question about it. Let me just back you up just a little bit, Eileen. I mean, that was tremendous. Entrepreneurially in Germany, what were you doing there?
I actually have a teaching credential, and I set up my own language school teaching English as a foreign language, specializing in business English. So I had German businesses as clients and, you know, had language courses and seminars in those companies. I did that for seven years.
So I'm assuming your German is probably pretty good.
A little rusty at this point. Haven't spoken it since I left Germany in 92. And sometimes, you know, when I'm in, you know, hear German spoken, my ears perk. But it's definitely a little rusty, needs a little updating.
Okay. And then before that, you said you were in Ireland and
what kind of work? I actually did a teaching credential but decided I didn't want to teach. And then I went and studied accountancy. And I worked for 5 years as an auditor in a firm of accountants in Dublin. And very interesting, taught me a lot of skill sets. I enjoyed the experience, but when I went to Germany then, I did not have the German background in accounting, so could not pursue that career there. And so that's why I looked at other opportunities and ended up doing the language teaching, which I really, really enjoyed. I taught adults, and it was a challenging but very rewarding experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, the with your background, obviously, it's certainly fairly widespread as far as going across a couple different skill sets. And I was going to kind of just jump off for just a little bit and ask you, because, you know, you and I met out at Jay Abraham's reunion out there in April in Los Angeles. And I'm just wondering what, if there were a couple things that really stood out in your mind regarding that, his reunion, you know, any of the particular speakers or anything that kind of jumps out at you as far as, you know, what you gained from that experience.
Well, I think the greatest my greatest gain was the people I met. Jay brought together an amazing group of people from around the world. I believe there were 15 countries there. And it was a great brainstorming event. The speakers, I think 23 or 24 of them in all, it was such a wide array of topics were covered. For me, I am very learning-based, and I am just totally open to what other people are doing and what other businesses are doing. And I think in real estate, sometimes we tend to have a very narrow focus. And when you step back and look at how other businesses are run and how other business people are running their business, you can learn so much and take so much into your own business. Jay Abraham is very, his focus is customer-based. My husband and I build and work our business on a referral base. Relationships are very important to us. And I love the input that Jay has to bring in relation to your clients and how important your clients are. And in the reunion, I think that was the big focus from all of the speakers from very, very different backgrounds, very different businesses, but the total thing that they had in common was how important your client base is and taking care of them, and that's what we try to do in real estate. So I was able to take what I learned there and help use it in our business to improve our level of commitment to our client base and our standards and services. So it was very rewarding. And then networking with people like you was amazing. It was an amazing opportunity to meet so many people from so many different backgrounds, all having a common goal to improve their lives and the lives of people they come in contact with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that, and I certainly was, I absolutely agreed. In fact, I said this to Spike and to Jay, both individually, that the speakers, as you said, the 24 of them were phenomenal. But as you so rightly said, it was the additional people that were able to meet, over 200 different people, a good number of them, that understand, you know, Jay's methods and everything like that. It's not about the good, the service, or the product. It's about relationships with other people, because people buy from and do business with you know, those individuals they have trust and rapport with. So I couldn't agree with you more. I totally agree there. Now, how about your husband, Phil? Now, how long has he been involved with the real estate business?
He says longer than he cares to remember. He started in he was a teacher. He started out
What did he teach?
He was a high school teacher. He taught history and English.
Okay.
As he said, way back, he comes from a real estate family. His father was a realtor. His grandfather was a realtor before him. And so while he was teaching, he started in real estate, and then eventually he's actually had his license since he says the late 60s. So he's had a lot of experience, but started working full-time in the 70s. And so he's been through many cycles, lots of experience, lots of different. He has specialized in commercial and residential. Now we focus mainly on residential. So he brings a lot to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how are you finding in your city anyway? The thing as far as the subprime issue and how it's affected you and your business.
Well, we work, a lot of our work is done in the Metro San Diego area, and part of the Metro San Diego area is downtown, and downtown went through a renaissance since early 2000. They built a new ballpark downtown, and with that it brought a lot of development, a lot of vertical living, as we call it, condo high-rises. And when the market started to boom in the most of the first development finished out in about 2003, and it brought a lot of people downtown, great excitement, but with that came a lot of speculation, and a lot of people got caught up in the fever of investing, so they over-leveraged themselves, unfortunately, and not everybody, of course, but a good percentage got involved in the fever. And as a result today, we're seeing a lot of distressed properties downtown. In some parts of San Diego, they are practically unaffected. It just goes in terms of pockets. The newer developments, newer areas, a lot of the people who bought in 2004, 2005, 2006, they are the people who are finding it hardest right now because the majority did not put any money down. They leveraged 100%, and they got these subprime loans, were not fully cognizant of what responsibility they were taking on, and then when the payments started to go up, could not meet their responsibilities. So it's very unevenly distributed. We have pockets that are severely affected by it, and then there are areas, well-established areas, that are not affected at all. But out of every cycle comes opportunity, and I think that for people who missed the opportunity in the early 2000s to get into the real estate market, this is giving them a phenomenal opportunity to get in. And I'm a firm believer, as you can imagine, in home ownership. I think it's an integral part of the American dream, and everybody deserves the opportunity to own a part of that dream. Now they're getting that opportunity because prices are in the areas that are heavily affected by the subprime market. Prices have dropped, and all we are seeing prices going back to 2001 in many cases. So it's while it's very hard for people who are in difficulty, it provides a great opportunity for people who missed the boat the last time.
Okay. I'm always curious about that because, you know, just trying to see what the real estate challenges are in various parts of the country, and certainly, you know, San Diego it's got to be on anybody's top five or top ten list, or maybe even top three list, as far as one of the best cities in the United States to live in. Because anybody that I've ever known that's either visited there or even lived there just is very, very impressed with the overall quality of life there and everything.
Absolutely, and we are seeing it's a very good spot for a second or third home. We are seeing a lot of buyers coming in from all, not only from the United States, but internationally as well, and buying, particularly in the condo segment, buying these condos as their second or third homes because, as I said, it's America's finest city, and I safely can say I think we have the best weather of any city in the United States. I feel very fortunate to live here. So,
I certainly would agree with you there. I was visiting it when I was out visiting my son in Huntington Beach a year ago in April. We went to the San Diego Zoo, and well, that place was just amazing. But the city itself, we got to drive around a little bit. But I would certainly agree with you as far as the climate. It's just got to be some of the very best anywhere, I would think.
And for that, we pay a small premium, which we're happy to do.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, Eileen, I was going to ask you if you could give our listeners two or three useful tips that they could do now that would help them, let's say as far as, some of the key things, because you see a number of different patterns and distinctions as far as the real estate market is concerned, and different, maybe a couple different ideas or tips you could give people that, maybe listening to this call at some point here just whatever advice that you can think of.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Tim. First thing is in relation to the market, despite all the negativity we hear about the housing market, interest rates are at an all-time low. When I went into the mortgage business, interest rates were at 7% and rising, and they had not been at 6.5% for the previous 30 years. So interest rates, despite all the talk we hear on the media, they're still at an all-time low. And, homes are more affordable now than they've been in the last 8 years. So it is a great time for people who are in a position to buy. There are a lot of opportunities in terms of distressed properties. So if you have been sitting on the fence waiting for the bottom to come, now is the time. We do have a lot of people, saying, I want to wait until it drops further, until it bottoms out. But my question to them is, how do you know it has bottomed out? It's always in hindsight when you get that perspective, and by the time you've decided it has bottomed out, the prices have already started to increase again. So it's a great time to buy. If you're thinking of moving up, if you need more space, if you need a nicer house, it's also a great time to do that because what you may lose on the sale of your current home, you'll gain on the purchase of a larger home. If you're selling your house, it is very important that your home is in top condition and it stands out from the competition. So very important to declutter, do the minor repairs, do any paint. Paint is the least expensive way you can add value to your home. And, of course, I would recommend people to consult with the realtor, make sure that their home is priced correctly and marketed correctly, because there is a lot of competition out there. So, you know, don't be waiting. Just move. If your home is firstly your sanctuary, a place to feel safe in and a place to relax and regenerate in. Then after that, it's an investment. And a lot of people come from the perspective of, you know, they want to make a huge profit on their primary residence. I always tell them you have to find a place that meets your family's needs first. And then after that, we hope that our homes are investments. And then over time, people make money in real estate. The only time you don't make money in real estate is if you have to sell at the wrong time, the inappropriate time. So when people buy today, they have to look at holding on to it. It's not a time to buy with the intention of flipping or making a quick profit. It's you buy at a really good price and then you hold until the market comes back up, which it will. It's a cycle. Real estate always goes in cycles, and we just follow the cycles.
And what's your view, Eileen? I think you and I have talked a little bit about this before as far as how the media goes and, you know, presents things. I mean, it's almost like it doesn't matter who you're listening to with print or electronic media. I mean, it's like they have the sky is falling mentality. What is your view?
Well, you know, we saw that here in San Diego in the downtown market for 3 years. The local newspaper, which I will not name, wrote every time, every day you'd pick up the paper, and this was when the market was perfectly okay. They were forecasting the fall, and we saw the results of it because buyers were reading it. They were getting nervous. And so it was the self-fulfilling prophecy. If you, you know, if you hear it enough times, you, and particularly in print, people tend to put a lot of weight to the print. If it's written in the paper, it has to be true. So then it becomes true. But in, you know, to put things into context, I heard a statistic the other day, which I thought is worth sharing. A third of all homes nationwide in the United States that are owned are free and clear. And less than 1% of homeowners currently are having a challenge with their payments. That means 99% are making their payments fine and there is no problem.
So that's the average throughout the United States?
Nationally, yes. Throughout the United States. When you listen to a lot of the media, they're taking what's happening in specific areas, and I am not, you know, there are definitely areas that are in trouble and overextended, but they're taking those, blowing them up, and creating this nervousness and panic in people that, you know, the sky is falling. So I would encourage, you know, people to find the facts out for themselves, to find out what's good for them, and not to pay so much attention to the media, because we all know negativity sells. For some reason, as humans, we tend to get drawn to the negative, and the media know that, and they feed on it, and they just keep repeating it. So it's understandable why people follow it, but it's sad to say that out of all the good things that people do in the world, all we hear about are the bad things.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And what's ironic, too, and just to add to what you were saying, because my background is working a lot with teens and young adults, as well as entrepreneurial and small business coaching. And isn't it interesting that these individuals that are reporters, that they've got, you know, just a certain amount of time, they literally flit from story to story to story. You know, they never really have an opportunity to drill deep, and yet so many people nationwide put so much stock in what these individuals, who at best all they are is a stone skipping across the water as far as the depth of any particular knowledge, as far as any story is concerned, yet because they say it, there's so many people in this country that just take it as absolute gospel. And, I mean, to me, it's just... Oh, I don't know. It's a real joke, because these individuals, just the nature of their job, they've got to be able to jump from one story to another. And, I mean, my goodness, how much depth can they possibly have as far as the true knowledge of it, rather than sitting there and reading off a teleprompter?
That's absolutely right. And, you know, I had an interesting conversation with a young man yesterday who's actually now in real estate, but he was a former TV producer. And it was interesting that we're talking about this morning, because I had that conversation. I said, well, why did you give it up? He said, I got tired feeding negativity to people. And I thought, because he said, that's all we did. We just found out all the negative, and that's what you spun. It was the spun we put on it. And he said, I just couldn't do it anymore. And so it is, yeah, sad. We definitely, no more than needing a change politically, we need a change in our mindset to not accept that anymore.
Absolutely. And good for him for, you know, getting out of that that career, because, as you say, that's you know, if it bleeds, it leads, and they just people just keep putting it out there as far as, you know, a lot of the negativity, and it really does rattle people. And that's why it's always good to take a, you know, a diet from the mainstream media, that's for sure. And
absolutely,
you know, you want to certainly, you know, stay somewhat informed, but the idea of watching it all the time just is not it's not real useful, and it certainly is very, very draining emotionally, that's for sure. Eileen, I wanted to see how people could contact you and learn more on you know, as far as if they were to be in the San Diego area and were possibly looking for you know, real estate, want to talk to you or Phil on how they could actually contact you and how you could help them.
Yeah, absolutely. We would welcome, we are very consultative based, and we're happy to share information about our market with anybody who has interest. There's several ways you can contact us. I would invite people to visit our website at www.philandeileen.com. That specific website is a downtown website, has lots of interesting information in it. They can email us at the team, T-H-E-T-E-A-M, at philandeileen.com, or they can call us at 619-233-1020. We would love to hear from them. We're never too busy for anybody's referrals, and we just totally enjoy sharing our information on San Diego and giving people the opportunity to see what a great city it is and what a great place it is to live in.
Well, your passion really, really comes through for this, Eileen, and I really want to thank you. This really has been great, and I believe that you've shared some wonderful information that will be very, very helpful, and I look forward to speaking with you again in the near future. And if you could just kind of just stay on the line, I'm going to close this recording here in a moment and, you know, just catch you for just a second when we're finished, okay?
Thank you very much, Tim. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Okay, thank you, Eileen.